One of the things that I wanted to mention is that ever since I was little, I've been fascinated with flashlights. I love flashlights. I have a whole bunch of flashlights. I travel a lot. I got a whole bunch in my backpack. Do I use them very much? Probably not. But I always have a lot of flashlights with me. So with that fascination of flashlights, I have become very fascinated with basically the flashlight of the Old Testament and the New Testament, which was a lamp. So today, we are going to be studying about lamps. We're specifically going to be looking at the 10 virgin story here in Matthew 25. That's what we're going to be focused on this morning. We are going to build up to that section. We are going to be talking about some of the Old Testament uses, the New Testament uses. And if you were able to get one of my handouts, it's focused for the kids, but it doesn't matter if the adults would like to do it. It should be a fun exercise. I want to see everybody's pictures of their lamps when they're done today. But as we go along this morning, these are things that I would like to focus on as we continue out the day. And here in Psalms 119, 105, it kind of sets the pace for this lesson. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That is the idea as we go throughout the lesson this morning. So, as the members here know, I got to go to Israel a couple years ago. And when I was there, I actually bought a lamp that would have been used during the time of Christ. It was a Herodian lamp. Now, that's what's pictured here. I didn't put oil in it and light it up. I was considering it, but I was thinking that's probably not a good idea. So what I did was I bought a lamp that was still made in Israel in the same type in the same place. I brought it here. I'm going to light it up after services if the kids would like to see how a Herodian lamp works. I'd like to show what it looks like, how it burns, how it's used, because today, as we go throughout our sermon, we're going to talk about all the importance of it. I'm also going to be talking about the things that I learned, because I've never used a lamp like this before. I learned a lot of the things that the verses specifically bring out that I had never considered, but then when I lit a lamp like this, I was like, oh, I get it now. So we're going to be looking at that this morning. So I do want to mention that when I was over in Israel, I did take a real quick shot of the place that I bought this lamp. And just kind of going along with this study, I took a picture of this. And if you were to zoom in, there's lamps made in different eras. And we're going to touch on that because some of our verses might bring things out. So take, for instance, this one. So the lamps in this area were from the Iron Age. So this is 1200 BCE. And then this section was the Middle Iron Age, which would have been 3500 BCE. So these were some old lamps. Now, you can see that these are just in pieces. But that was kind of the idea. Now, when I was over in Israel, it's very interesting to see how much and how much emphasis they had on lamps. Even when I went to different museums, they had entire sections just on lamps. The lamps that were found, the lamps that were used, how they got olive oil, how the olive oil was used, the type of containers that they used for the olive oil, and so on. So I went to Masada. Masada was the palace of Herod. Wink, wink. That is where Herod lived during the time of Christ and before the Herods, right? I wanted to point this out. While I was there, I got to go into his bedroom and to where his office was. And as we go throughout this lesson, I just kind of want you guys to think about what this looked like. So Masada is on a huge hill standing over top of the Dead Sea. I don't know if you can see here in the distance, that's the Dead Sea. That's where I went swimming later, and it was like 40 degrees outside. I was the only one in there. So this is where the Dead Sea is. It's out by itself, and there's no way to get up there other than a staircase. This is where his palace was. And then this was his office, and to the right of it is his bedroom. I wanted to point out this one little piece, right? This little piece on this wall. That's a lampstand. These were all over the city. Now, you might be wondering what this black line is. That black line is anything below the back black line is original to Herod's palace. Anything above the black line has been reconstructed after the fact to recreate what it would look like. So anything below the line. So that is an original lampstand. So if you can imagine, about a lamp this size was made to fit on that shelf. And they were all over his office, his bedroom. And that's where in the evening they would set different lamps so they would light the area. I'd always considered they would have big lamps and things like that that would light up a room. But essentially they had these little lampstands that were there for them to place these lamps. So with that said, we know that lamps were used throughout the entire Bible. There's a lot of different evidences we have of that. So we are going to be looking at some of these pieces, especially here in the Old Testament. So we have a lot of biblical symbolism when it comes to lamps. Of course, in the ancient world, it was used for daily life. They didn't have flashlights. They didn't have electric. It wasn't something that they could just turn on. So individuals had to know about wicks. Brad's class, we talked about flax wicks. I tried to get a flax wick. Those are almost impossible to find nowadays. They did find flax wicks that are in a lot of the museums if you were to go over there. You know, these are kind of artifacts, but I have a cotton wick here. It's a little bit different. But we talked about flax wicks in our class. Now, it does mention a clay bowl. So if you understand how a wick works, things do not need to be in kind of a Herodian lamp. You essentially could have a bowl with just a wick come out of it. We know that these different types of wicks, they would wick up water. So they can wick up oil. So all you would need to do is to have a bowl and a wick, and you could light it on fire because then the oil will travel up the wick. So there's a lot of different shapes and sizes. I mean, you could even take, I don't recommend this, you could take a bowl at home, put oil in it, and light your wick. That's essentially how it works. So it's not overly complicated the way it works, but everybody was so familiar with it. Light was often used to represent God's light. You know, just like the verse that we started off with this morning about our word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's something that everybody would have understood, especially the Jews, because back in the tabernacle, we have this foreshadowing of what this would be. So the Old Testament example, God commanded the Israelites to keep the oil lamps continually burning. So in Exodus 27, 20 through 21, it talks about bringing pure oil, of pressed olives, for the light to keep the lamps burning continually. We knew that they were to never let them go out. They were to constantly have them burning. Also, I use ChatGPT to make a lot of my images. And with a little bit of this sinus going on, I thought I was saying lamps burning, but I said lambs burning. So I got a lot of pictures of lambs burning if you need those, Brad, for our study. Yeah. I was like, what is it doing? Oh, yeah, it said lambs. So we know that in the Old Testament, we have this the lamps burning. Of course, we know that they were to burn every morning, every evening. The light was to never go out. These lamps were to constantly be maintained. Now, having a lamp, I do think it's interesting now understanding what it is to maintain a lamp. I often just think of candles in our house that we might just light. But now I've really considered about what it means to maintain that light. Now, like I mentioned, we have a lot of these examples already given. So we have that the priests were always to be tending the lampstands, that God's light should never go out, that it should always burn continually. Now, I wanted just to say those verses and come up with these things. Because here in Matthew 25, I'm going to read Matthew 25, 1 through 13. I'm going to read it straight through. And then what we're going to do is we're going to look at each of these pieces and try to get a better understanding of what each of these pieces mean. So, we have the parable of the 10 virgins here in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. So I'm going to read through this, and we're going to look at each of these pieces. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. Okay? We just talked about what this uses, right? It uses that oil to run it. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So that's essentially what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be looking at these pieces of that story. So what I'd like to do to kind of start us off is let's compare the two sets of people. We have five and five, right? So we have 10 virgins here that came to this wedding. We have ones that are considered foolish and ones that are considered wise. But what was the same between them? As I was really thinking about this and studying it out, they all came with lamps. They all had lamps with them. Except five were ready and five were not. They all waited. They all waited. They all considered when they received or when they came there that they were getting ready to go in. But the bridegroom wasn't there, so it wasn't time to go in. It wasn't ready. It wasn't the time that they needed to go in. And another one, they all fell asleep. They all fell asleep. That's how I read it anyway. All of them fell asleep. However, when the moment came, did they have oil? And were they ready to respond? Were they ready when it came? That's really what the difference will come down to. So we might have these questions, you know, are we ready? Right? While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So all of them slept. But only the prepared had enough oil when they woke up. So some of the things that I think about, especially with these verses, sometimes we may feel like we are ready. But sometimes that time never comes that we have prepared for. You know, I think reading through the Old Testament, I think a lot of people thought that Christ was coming back instantly, that the end of time was going to be instantly within their time frame. But it wasn't. But they had to be ready for if it did. So they had to wait longer than they expected because it was not time yet. So then we think about the oil that they had. Because the foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. You know, something that I'd never really considered when I was reading this, I read it over several times just really considering. It seems like they had their lamps, but they never had any oil. Like, they never had oil. Like, I always thought they showed up with oil and the lamps burned, and then they ran out, or they just never had any to begin with. Again, these are things that I'm still studying myself. I'm still really considering these. I read over the passages multiple times to prepare for this lesson. I read over a lot of commentaries and so on. Most commentaries conflict against each other. And so I keep reading back over, just really considering what these verses mean. So if we think about it, if they never had the oil, and the oil represents the Holy Spirit, they had a lamp. But then they may have never been filled. They may have never actually had the Word. They may have never actually had the Holy Spirit. So we can't neglect the Holy Spirit because that actually is what fuels our flame. God's Word. These things are what actually fuel our flame because we can't have a flame without it. We have to have it. Because I can't just light my wick and the wick burns. Now, I thought I had to singe a wick in order to start it. That was a bad idea. Because then it just catches on fire and it just burns and it burns fast. So if I had a lamp and I lit the wick and I didn't have any oil in it, it's just going to burn and nothing's going to happen to it. It has to have that oil to run it. Now there's another thing that happened in this story that I hadn't considered is all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Now, as you can see, that is a non-trimmed wick. That's a picture of this lamp. That lamp is not trimmed. If I were to light that the way that it is, it will just smoke. a lot of smoke will happen because it's dirty and it needs to be cut away in order for it to work. So when all of those virgins arose, they prepared their lamps. They trimmed them. Also, I wonder how they trimmed their lamps. I had a nice pair of Fisker scissors and it was really easy to trim it. But if you just cut it with a knife, it frays and it's not a clean cut, then it'll burn in different pieces and it actually won't light. So I often wonder, I bet that was quite a skill, was to trim a light. You had to work on it. You had to know how to trim. So I think about this. I think about trimming our wicks daily to not allow sin and neglect to dim our light. Because if we do not have a clean, trimmed wick, maybe it's sin or whatever you would like to relate it to, it will not burn and it won't burn correctly. So we also need to repent and turn away from that. We need to trim our wick to make sure that it's burning well. Because if it's not clean and if it's not running well, we are not shining our light very bright. Because a well-trimmed lamp burns brighter than a non-trimmed lamp. Again, something I had never considered. Especially when it talks about trimming our lamps and our lights. So let's say, for instance, you have a candle at home. I don't know if anybody's had a candle at home and they kind of let it burn to where it's like a ball because it, like the soot of it will build up. And if you were just to light that, it will probably pop and crackle. It may still light. But here's the difference between an untrimmed light and a trimmed one. Now, they're both burning, right? However, just the nerd in me, if you were to run this under an infrared light or a heat light, you will see that a trimmed light burns way brighter, way hotter, more so than an untrimmed. See, this one's trimmed. This one's not. As you can tell, the brighter the color, the brighter the light is burning. It's burning hotter. It's burning brighter. Again, I never considered this. If they hadn't trimmed that, they would have never been able to use their lamps. So as we continue throughout our study this morning, I often wonder, what happens if you're out of oil? What happens if you run low on oil? What happens if you didn't have any and you lit your wick? So, I did that. I let my light run very low on oil. It was lit. Well, guess what happened? The fire will start coming into the wick. It came into the lamp. It will start burning inside of it, and then it'll just go out. Because there's nothing to continually run it. That fire would have just consumed the inside of this little lamp. Because it started popping and crackling. I was like, what on earth is going on? And it was because the flame had went inside of the lamp itself. So I think about that. Did they have enough oil? Well, 10 of the virgins had oil. And they may even had extra oil. So the other virgins asked if they could borrow theirs or have some of theirs. But the wise answered and said no. Well, why did they say no? Seems kind of mean. Right? You would think that you would have brought enough. But here's the problem. If they would have gave them theirs, they wouldn't have had enough. So there's a lot of things that we can take from this. However, this morning, for the purpose of this lesson, this is what I was really thinking about, how all of this comes together. Just like they couldn't share the oil and their lamps, I can't be baptized or I can't believe for someone else. That's for that individual. That individual needs to have that oil. They need to have that lamp. They need to have it burning bright. It's up to the individual to do that. The five knew what they needed to do. They knew they needed to have their lamp. They needed to have their oil. And it needed to be trimmed. And it needed to be lit. Like I mentioned, they all slept. And I was really thinking about that. You know, as we go throughout our lives, we all get tired. We all have to rest. But are we ready for that time? Do we have the Holy Spirit with us? Do we have God's Word with us that we are ready to have our lights shining at any time? Are we ready? Are we prepared to be called out of sleep to be ready? And I was thinking about this, like, you know, we can't do this for someone else. So those virgins were like, well, you know, we've already done this. We've already prepared. We have our lamps. We have our wicks. They're trimmed. We have everything ready to go. But then they told the others that they needed to go get those for themselves. By the time that they went and got what they needed, the extra oil, when they came back, the bridegroom already closed the door and didn't admit them. You know, Jen and I were talking about this last night because I feel like there's a lot to this story. We have a lot that we're not even able to talk about this morning as we start wrapping this up. But I often think that all of them were invited. All 10 were invited to this. That they all received an invitation to the wedding. So when the door was closed and they asked to come in and he said, I know you not. It's interesting to think that they were invited. But when that time came and they didn't do what they needed to do, he didn't know who they were. And we think about that, that are we ready? Are we ready when God comes? Do we have God's word that guides us? We think about Proverbs 6:23. The commandment is a lamp teaching a light, emphasizing God's instructions on our moral lights. About all the emphasis that we have about lamps and lights. And about the lamp represents God's guidance and light in our life. Do we have that? Are we ready to light our lamps, to burn them bright? I often think about our kids' song, This Little Light of Mine. You know, that's got a lot of emphasis to it. Because if we do have that light and it's burning bright, that means there's oil. That means the lamp is trimmed. And we have the lamp at the time that we need it. As we bring everything to a close this morning, I hope that this study on lamps was enjoyable as for you guys as it was for me. I really enjoyed putting this together this morning. And I think about the importance of understanding what everything means to us when it comes to a lamp and the light and the things that we need to do. Of course, we know that we need to become baptized in a child of His. That if we're following His light, He's already told us what we need to do to repent and baptize. Not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. And if anybody would like any prayers or would like to become a child of His, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.